Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Bear Creek Church Online. What a crazy event this is, but I'm glad that you're connecting with us today. And before I kind of get into the message today, I just wanted to encourage you. This is kind of a unique situation that we're a part of right now, and so we're going to do worship online at least this week, and maybe for the next couple of weeks we'll inform you more about that. So stay tuned for that with emails. But it does give us a format so that at least we can communicate with you and that we can share together. I know some of our family are meeting together in small groups and listening to this morning, which is awesome. I know we have some people that are on vacation together are going to be listening to this, which is awesome. And so we're glad to be able to have this opportunity. Before I get going with kind of the message, just to encourage you, if this is going to go on for a while, that on Sunday mornings before we get going, you can download some music from YouTube and some worship music that you can worship to. Next week, we're going to try to do communion together. And so if we're not meeting, we'll encourage you to get some juice of some kind and some crackers, and we'll do a little communion service via online service next week, just to make sure that's a part of our time together as well. Let me do a few announcements before we get going. One of the first ones is that make sure they'll be in your worship programs, and it'll be in an email sent out this week by Jeff. But we have a number of summer events that we're going to be supporting financially. And so the month of April, there's going to be some fundraisers. So on April 6th in Austin, Minnesota, at the Pizza Ranch, there's going to be a fundraiser there. You eat, and then a portion of those proceeds will come back to our summer programs. There's going to be a soup lunch on the 19th of April, and then a bake sale on the 26th of April. So hopefully we'll participate with that. And all those go to our Bible Bowl, our camp, our mission trip that's coming, but you can participate in that. Also, on Wednesday, March 25th, there'll be another campus housing outreach informational meeting. That will be, and you'll hear more about that in our emails. But that's Jeff will lay out some of the future plans and then also how to participate in supporting the campus. It's a great way to invite other friends and family, maybe coworkers, to come and find out about what's happening on campus as well. So very, very neat. And also, one more thing. Jeff asked me to say, if you're out of Kleenex, we're selling boxes of Kleenex now to raise money for our projects. $50 a box. It's all out in our community, but we're going to sell them for $50 a box. And if you need toilet paper, $100. It's all for a good. No, I'm just teasing you. Been a crazy week, hasn't it? And when with the coronavirus and all that's been happening with that, in our community here, people have went to five, six, seven different places, and they're out of toilet paper. They're out of a lot of canned goods. It's really quite remarkable and quite amazing. And I'm not going to lie to you, it's not that it hasn't rattled your nerves a little bit as well. Whenever we get into these kinds of crises, it makes us think in the back of our mind, is this it? Is this the end? Is this what's going to happen? Is this the apocalypse or whatever it is that we think about? And it's very common to think that way. I felt more strongly about that back in 9/11 when we woke up in the morning and my wife woke me up and says, you got to watch the news. And as I saw that second plane crash into the building, that was very, very scary. And I can remember feeling very, very jittery and very, very anxious. Epidemics or pandemics, as they're calling that, make us feel that way as well. Even though it's not as the toll is, we're still trying to figure out what's happening with it. But yet in the back of your mind, you're thinking, okay, is this it? You know, in Mark 13, 7 through 8, it says, when you hear, Jesus said, when you hear of rumors of wars and hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. He says, such things happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. Humanity has long worried about surviving wars and surviving tragedies and surprising disasters. And it's a natural thing to think about, is this the end? And I think it reminds us that we live in a fallen world and that it's broken. And that there's part of that brokenness is not only weather, like the tornadoes that happened down in Nashville, Tennessee, but part of that brokenness is disease. And disease has been with us from the very beginning. And even earth cries and longs for the day that Jesus will return to restore things back to normal again. In Romans 8, verse 20 through 22, it says, for the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. And we know that this whole creation has been growing as in pains of childbirth right from the present time. So there's this longing to be free from this world. So when we have these things happen in our life, it reminds us that we're living in a broken world. So as a church, we are to proclaim heaven in all the ways that we can let people know of the hope and keep the faith and trusting God and loving our neighbors and our enemies and especially loving the poor and the sick. We don't have to give in to fear, remembering that perfect love cast out fear, as it says in 1 John 4:18, and then death has no sting. So we don't have to fear these moments in life, but we can approach it with faith and with understanding and face it forward as followers of Christ. And so today I'm going to kind of break from what we've been talking about with life healing choices. I'm actually calling this the health choice today, as I want to just comment briefly about what's happening around us with the coronavirus and some things that we're doing as a church and some things that you can do as well. And hopefully learn from it and use this as an experience that we can grow spiritually. As for the COVID-19, which is what they're calling this disease, the latest predictions have it shaping up as a pandemic, possibly on the scale of a global outbreak of influenza like we had in 1957, though it may be more milder than the case in 2009. While a lot of it is unknown, they're still trying to figure out most of it. And the World Health Organization believes that it's deadlier than the flu-based on current numbers, but that the transmission is a little bit slower. It's not as easy as flu can. Anyways, they're still learning about all these things. And I wondered, it was so interesting to see how it's spreading across the globe. So I looked up a few numbers of past pandemics that have happened. We all remember the bubonic plague took place back in 541 and 542. They estimated that about 25 million people died. About half the population of Europe died in that terrible plague. We also have heard in history about the Black Death, which took place in 1346 to 1353. That's where the song Ashes, Ashes, they all fall down. That little song came from that period of time. It was really talking about dying from the plague. But it was estimated between 75 to 200 million people died during that. It was a plague spread by fleas living on rats. And at that time, shipping and commerce were very, very important. So the ports were just filled with illness as those rats would come up and infect other people. So terrible plague. Millions and millions of people died. The Spanish flu in recent history is one that really took a lot of life. It first was found in the military in 1918. It was estimated that 500 million people were infected by it. That's about a third of the world's population. And it's estimated that 50 million died worldwide. About 650,000 people died in the United States. The mortality rate was really high with children 5 years and younger. What was really unique about this that flu was that it affected 20 to 40 year olds, and then anybody 65 or over. So there were some gaps in there, but that unique that it affected healthy people in that young age group really made it kind of unique. The Asian flu hit in 1956 to 1957. About 2 million people died worldwide, and about 69,000 to 70,000 died in the United States. The Hong Kong flu was 1968. The mortality rate was really, really low with that flu, about 0.5%. And about 1 million people died worldwide. But what was really fascinating and unbelievable was about 500,000 people died in Hong Kong with that flu. And then recently, the AIDS virus that has affected so many people, it started in the Congo of Africa. Since the beginning, about 75 million people have been infected by it worldwide. About 32 million have died. And it's estimated that about 37 to 38% are living with that virus today. With medicines that have been able to help it and keep it under control, the death rate has gone down a lot. But we've been affected by a lot of these kinds of illnesses and diseases since the beginning of time. Now, we decided, Pastor Jeff and then Josh Netterhoff, who's one of our elders, on Friday decided that we would close, and we decided to close our services for this weekend for a variety of reasons. I just want to let you know kind of our thinking. The first is that they're still learning about what this virus is and how to tackle it. So I was listening to a doctor interview on the radio that I came across, and a doctor was talking about it. And he says that the host was saying that he'd been frustrated because he felt like the leadership wasn't doing all that they could do. And the doctor kind of held him back. He says, just a second. He says, it took a while for us to get the information from China. He says, it takes time to identify what they're actually dealing with. It takes time to analyze how it affects and infects people. And it takes time to test it and then to develop testing for it. And so the doctor was a trauma surgeon. And he says that they're learning all the time. So when you use hindsight, he says you can't use hindsight in this situation, because you always can look back and say we can do things differently. So he was quite positive about what the health organizations are doing. And he says just give them some space so that they can get the things accomplished that need to be accomplished. The second reason that we decided to close this weekend was to keep the virus from spreading so fast, so that health officials can have the time to understand it, to identify it, to find it, understand it, find it, and then treat those that have it in a bad way. Now, the goal is to keep it from spiking and overwhelming. You know, I've heard over and over on TV and radio that the key is that they don't want it to go spike really high and then come down. They kind of want to level it off. And the reason is that hospitals don't have enough room in order to handle a spike like that. Right now, they're filled with flu victims. They're trying to handle that. And there's a lot of going on with flu victims. There's a lot of people that are sick with that. And so if this disease kind of overwhelmed it, then those that could be helped or could be healed from, not necessarily healed, but can be helped because of the things that are going on when they get the sickness, if there's no beds for them to be a part of, then they could lose their life. And so they're really, really trying to hold that back the best that they can. And so the best way to do that is what they call social spacing, to get people away from each other, at least 6 feet apart. And if you can close down places and keep people from gathering so that it spreads quickly, that's the best. Again, a doctor on the radio was asked, does warmer weather help stop the virus? And he said, it is true that, for instance, the flu tends to go down when the weather starts to heat up. He says, but one of the main reasons for that is that people are able to get out of their homes and they're able to get away from people, so they're able to have that social spacing. And he says, that's really, really key when you're dealing with these viruses the way they are. And so, therefore, the governor asked yesterday, he requested that anybody gathering in groups of 250 or more choose not to gather for a period of time to help kind of keep that spreading down. And so we decided, based on that information, and if the government was asking us to do that, then we would do so. It's kind of funny, this idea of social spacing. The next time Carrie gets a little twinkly eye and comes close to me on the couch, now I can say, social spacing, you got to stay away. Gives me a good excuse, right? A third reason is if the NCAA, NFL, National Hockey League, the Major League Baseball, National Basketball Association, the Pro Golf Tournament, all these people are taking it seriously and they're canceling their events that are costing them millions, hundreds of millions of dollars. If they're taking this seriously, then it's probably very important for us to take it seriously as well. A fourth reason is that it's here close to Rochester in Olmsted County. I think there's one case so far. Luckily, that case has been connected where a person was traveling outside of the state and contacted in a place that had the virus around it and so brought it back. So that's good news, that meaning that it's kind of enclosed. It gets scary when a person gets it for no reason. That means it's really, really spread. But right now, it looks like there's connections to that. I think as of today, March 14th, there's been 868 numbers of patients tested. There's 21 positives in the state of Minnesota. Now it's starting to spread to rural areas a little bit. And again, there's a case in the county of Olmsted County. And so so it's important. When it's here, then we need to take care of it and keep it squelched down. When we do that, it gives our local health officials time to see if there's any more cases in town and in the surrounding areas. And so those are the reasons why we decided to close. It's important that we recognize that. It was kind of funny yesterday, Josh and Jeff and I were talking and we decided that we were going to kind of send the message out to close. And then, and so we decided to do that. When Josh brought up, he says, well, there's only three churches to close, because we were really having a hard time deciding if this is what we should do. So we decided to click the button and send it to KTTC in those places that we were closed. And I'm not kidding you, about 3 minutes later or 5 minutes later, now, since then, a lot of churches have closed in our community, recognizing how important it is that churches, we're part of our community as well, and so we need to be part of the solution in our community as well. So check my notes here. If I just mixed them up for you, that's going to be awesome. So what can we do? This is kind of what I wanted to focus on today and bring some principles in that can help us kind of think through this a little bit and grow from it and also be a part of the solution. The first thing that we can do is to pray. And I love what the Apostle Paul taught a young preacher named Timothy when he was talking about church work. He says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 1, I urge you then, first of all, that petitions and prayers and intercession and thanksgiving be made for all people. And so what we all can do, that we don't need to be in the presence of somebody else, is that we can pray. We can pray. We can pray for those. We can pray for the doctors and the health officials so that they can understand what this disease is all about. We can pray that we can come up with ways to produce testing faster so that more and more people can be tested. We can pray that there's room in hospitals. We can pray that doctors and nurses are available in order to help other people. We can pray that the virus won't last very long. We can pray for unity. Right now, politicians love to make this a political issue, but we really need unity right now because we need to solve this problem together and not divided. And so when we pray, we should pray that God would protect us, but also guide and direct everything that's happening. And then we should pray for our friends that might contact that disease. Pray that God would work in their life. And maybe just pray, as this passage connected in 1 Timothy is all about, that we pray for these people so they might have a chance at salvation. Some of these events make us fearful of life, fearful of the end, fearful of dying. And a lot of times, many people will fall on their knees and ask God into their life. And so we need to pray that this might be an opportunity for people to get their life in order and that they can get right with God. The second thing that we can do is to do our part. You know, there's things that we can do physically, things that we can do planning-wise. We've canceled trips. We've done certain things that can kind of help keep things under control. So washing your hands with soap, using hand sanitizers, if you can find them in town, they're all out in town as well. Covering your mouth and nose with tissue and coughing and sneezing. Don't touching your eyes. A doctor, again, on the radio said touching our face is a big-time cause of when we ingest these kinds of infections and viruses. So making sure that we don't touch our faces. Staying away from people that are sick. Staying at home when you're sick. I know that you don't like to be stuck at home and maybe you just got to go to work, but boy, you got to stay at home if you're sick. And then refraining from shaking hands, and maybe you can bump elbows in order to say hi to somebody else. It's really important that we do what we can to do our part and to make sure that we're not greedy buying 20 bags of toilet paper or whatever that might be. I was talking to a friend of mine this week, and we were talking about, heard that the toilet paper was out of Costco, and she goes, people buying toilet paper. She goes, why aren't they buying food? That's what I would be buying if I was nervous about what was going to be happening. That's just the way people are. And it's just interesting that they got to grab it for themselves. So we got to watch out for that. And we got to make sure that if it does get to some of those points, that we're able to share with people and take care of people. In 1 Timothy 5, verse 22, it says, do not be hasty to lay hands on... No, that's not the right verse. I've got the wrong verse. I thought that was kind of... Don't be hasty in laying on the hands and do not share in the sins of others. Keep yourself pure. But that's kind of pulling that out of context. The one I wanted to say is Philippians 2, verses 3 through 4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interest of others. I know it's an interesting way of applying that, but this is a great way of applying that. That instead of just looking out for ourselves, that we're thinking about other people. So keeping our hands clean, doing our part to keep that disease from spreading rapidly. The third thing that you need to do is stay informed. The media is aflame with daily updates. Reading everything only increases our anxiety. So what we're going to do is try to make available, probably through an email that Jeff will send out this next week, with some really good resources that you can tap into. Christianity Today did an excellent article on churches and this disease, or churches and pandemics, and we'll send that link to you. But there's also a guide for churches. Part of this outline comes from that guide about what we should tell our churches. But in there, they have website links that you can go to get up-to-date information on what's happening. So the Center on Disease Control has a really, really good website that's constantly updated about the numbers and where it's happening and what's happening around the world. There's also some resources for faith-based organizations and what we can do. there's things even that you can click on for managing anxiety when you have that feeling because of what we're experiencing now, and then even some mental health issues. But anyways, there's some links, and we'll make sure to send them out to you. Doctor on the radio was talking about the Department of Health in Minnesota, which is one of the best in the world, and they have a really good website. We'll give you that link as well, and it has a website specifically for the COVID virus that we're talking about today. So it's really good to stay informed. We got to be careful about the sensationalization that happens on TV, but it's important that we go to the right places for the right information. In Proverbs 8, verse 12, it says, "Wisdom and good judgment live together, for wisdom knows where to discover knowledge and understanding." So it's very, very important for us to do that. A fourth thing that we can do is to make plans. Because COVID-19 likely spreads like the cold and the flu, personal hygiene is paramount among staff and volunteers and congregants. Washing hands, avoiding contact with the sick, staying at home, and so on and so forth. I already talked about that. The Center for Disease Control recommends hand sanitizers everywhere. And so again, if you can get a hold of that, but we'll try to place them here within church as well. It also recommends cleaning areas, even in your house, cleaning surfaces because it can last on surfaces for periods of days. And then what we're going to do as a church, now we don't know how long we're going to not meet together on the weekend, but if we start meeting together, we're going to do some things to help with this. First is, I know that the Bible says that we should greet each other with a kiss, so we can't greet each other anymore, but we'll just have to wave at each other. So no handshaking and no hugging until this virus is under control. During the offering, we're not going to pass an offering plate. We'll have offering stations where you're able to drop your money or your check or your envelope. We'll have somebody standing there watching that as well. And so to make sure that we're not handling, just think of that. These things you don't think about is the things that we handle. And so just passing the offering plate can pass germs. I went to John Hardy's this week, and after they'd been talking about all this washing hands, I went and washed my hands. But then when the food came, I went and grabbed the barbecue sauce that's plastic containers that everybody's been touching. So I had to eat everything with my fork, which I typically do. Don't use my fingers. But that's the point. It's interesting how things can spread. So what we'll do is when we're passing the offering plate, we'll do the same thing with communion. What we'll do is just have communion up front. We'll have people walk forward. We'll have someone, I put clean, meaning they'll have gloves on or something, give you a piece of bread and a cup of juice, and then you can drink it and then put the cup into the wastebasket. But that's just another way that we'll be able to do that. We'll have hand sanitizers available. We will have someone pour and hand coffee to people instead of hitting the lid or doing the coffee pots. That we'll have somebody pour it for you and then hand it to you. We'll do the same with the goodies that we'll have. Put them on plates so that individually you're just grabbing each one. We will clean all the doors and the doorknobs and the railings. Just make sure that we are wiping those things down. We'll have the entrance doors open so you just walk in so you don't have to put your hand on it. I think, again, you don't think about that, but when you're going into a restaurant, you grab the door, you put your hand in the window just where everybody else does. And so we'll have that. We'll spread out our seating a little bit. Maybe encourage people to kind of spread out. I think they tell you to keep a 6 feet radius, and that's mainly for coughing and sneezing, but we'll be careful about that. Maybe you could spread out too. Some of you can come in the early morning service, which is a little lower attendance. That way we can spread the attendance out in a little bit better way. We'll encourage those who are most susceptible to catching the virus to stay at home. We've already had some people contact us and said they're not coming in because they're in that area or in that age group or they have some things going on in their life. And we really encourage you, if you have family or somebody that you're close to that has issues, to be careful about that. And then we'll continue to do YouTube broadcasts. We're getting Justin Moreland's helping me today. He's behind the scenes. This is the first time that we've done that. So we'll kind of clean it up a little bit. And if we do it for the next few weeks, we'll have some fun with it as well. But we'll continue on so that we can make the connection. And even down the road, we might limit children's ministry. We'll see about that. Children, it's really remarkable that they're not catching this virus, which is a blessing, which is great. Usually, like in flu, it's young people and old people. But in this one, particular one, it's not. But out of concern for not just the kids, but their family members that could connect it, you know, they can carry that to somebody else. So we'll think about it and talk more about it. But those are some ways that we're trying to address it to make sure that we're doing what we can to kind of do our part to do what we can in order to kind of address them. I love what Proverbs 24, 3 through 4 says. The Living Bible paraphrase says this: any enterprise is built by wise planning. It becomes strong through common sense and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. And so we're trying just to make good plans, get the facts straight, put things together so that we can really, really do what we can in order to help with this pandemic that's happening. A fifth thing that we can do is comfort the sick. You know, even if a virus outbreak prevents us from gathering as congregation to worship, we still support one another in our caregiving. This can happen through prayer, through verbal communication and encouragement, and through coming alongside others to provide help in a crisis. When you read about some of the other pandemics, you'll read stories of how churches would take in the sick, even to expose themselves to it. And really, that's what we're all about. Throughout the generation of the Christian church, churches are the ones that have stepped up. Christians are the ones that have stepped up to help help with the poor and help with the sick, to help with those that are struggling in life. I think about the parable of the sheep and the goats, the beautiful parable that Jesus teaches in Matthew 25. And he's talking about people that are truly his followers and the mark of what a true follower of Jesus is like. And he says, these are the ones, he calls them the sheep. He says, these are the sheep that get to go to be with him in paradise. He says, I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. And I was in prison and you came to visit me. But he says, I was sick and you looked after me. And so we have an opportunity to do what Christ followers do, and that's to take care of other people. It could be our family, it could be our neighbor, it could be a coworker, but it's an opportunity when we're going through these situations in life that we can really share Jesus with others by loving people to Jesus. A core Christian calling for Christians is to care for the sick and the dying. And Jesus sent this in one of the times in the Bible where he sends them out, it says, to heal the sick in Matthew 10, verse 8. And sometimes at the risk of our own life. Jesus says in John 15, 13, there's no greater love than to lay down one's own life for one's friends. And in these situations, sometimes that's what it means. I think of what happened with the case of measles or the smallpox and how people literally would give up their life in order to take care of other people and how powerful a witness that can be. So we will comfort the sick. And then finally, what we can do is we just simply trust God. Vital disease or viral diseases are a fact of biological existence and part of creation. Keeping perspective and not panicking apply here, just as they do for all risks that we face as creatures in a finite world. In these anxious days, the church can shine a light of hope and care and faith and patience and prudence, demonstrating for the world how our faith provides true assurance against worry and fear. No matter how dire circumstances get, the Lord remains the place to turn. I love the passage in Psalms 91, 1 through 6. Context is probably when God's people were attacked or in exile, and when there's things like that happening, disease is prevalent as well. But Psalms 91, 1 through 6 says this: whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. Isn't that neat? That God is close by that shadow. That's how close he is. He says, I will say to the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. When we're in these times, this is when it's most important to trust God. Trust God that he will protect us. Trust God if we get the disease that he will heal us. Trust God if we get the disease and die that he will take us up to paradise to be with him. But it's a moment that we can trust God, and he promises us that he'll be with us and guide us and protect us. What a beautiful promise from the Lord. Later on in Psalms 91 verse 14, it says, the Lord says, I will rescue those who love me, and I will protect those who trust in my name. And even if it's not in this world, God will take us to be with him forever, so we have nothing to fear. And so this pandemic is an opportunity for us us to trust God, to love people, and to make a difference and show people how our faith can make us stronger, even in the midst of these fears. So I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you're not panicking. I hope that you place your confidence in the Lord during the season of time for our church. We don't know what's going to happen in these next few weeks. We'll try to keep you informed. But we all know that we can pray and that we can take care of each other and that we can trust God to do His thing in our life. I want to pray with us. I want to pray together. Pray for our nation. Pray for the world. And pray for you. So let's bow with a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for this moment that we have to gather as a family. It's just a brief moment today. And but I pray for our church family, Bear Creek Church family. I pray that you be with them as they're in their homes and their communities as they're traveling. I pray that they can travel back safe, those that are out of town. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help us deal with the situation in a confident way, because we know that you're on our side and we know that you're present with us. We pray for the health organizations and the health leaders, that they can come up with ways that they can protect people and also help people. We pray for the hospitals and the doctors, Lord, to give them strength and energy to deal with the amount of people that are coming their way. And we do pray that this virus will not last very, very long. We pray that it will run its course. We pray for lack of loss of life to keep people here, if possible, Lord. We pray for just for our families as well, that you protect them. And just for calm. We pray for calm with people. We also pray that our politicians can get along with each other and come together. What a surprise if they would come together and actually help each other and help us kind of deal with the stuff that we're dealing with right now. We all pray this in Jesus' name, because we are confident someday the earth will be renewed. Someday we will be with you forever. Someday Jesus will return and we don't have to worry about these things anymore. And it's in that confidence that we place our hope and that we pray. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, good to see you. Good to see your house. I haven't been in your houses for a while, so good to see. No, I'm just teasing. Please make sure to check your emails. We'll keep you informed about what's happening during the week, if there's any other closures, if some of our events are going to be. But make sure, I know this week there's going to be some more decisions that are going to be need to be made. Until then, I pray that you're safe. I pray that you take care of yourself. Wash your hands, right? Read your Bibles, and we'll connect next week as well. God bless you, everybody.